Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations, where we're having a wonderful time in our studio because I have two special guests, both of whom have the ability to converse. And you'll see that as we go through, because off air, before the show started, we've been trying to get started for an hour, and we can't help it. We're having a great time here. One of them is the executive director of the Rhode Island Film Festival, George Marshall.
Hello.
Welcome back, George.
Thank you, Mike.
And the other one who's having a real good time is the executive director of the Rhode Island Film and Television Office, Stephen Feinberg. Welcome back, Stephen.
Thank you, Mike. Happy to be here.
Aren't we having a great time?
Always. Always in your company.
When these two get together, they can talk about more things having to do with film than you can possibly imagine. And I know radio doesn't sometimes translate to film, but we're going to make that happen tonight, as we have on other occasions, because last week was the Academy Awards, and a big part of film is the music. And so we're going to kind of do a little bit of a recap about the Academy Awards and who won what and why. And George and Stephen both have opinions.
And we tend to actually, I shouldn't say this, we think pretty much on the same level. Both Stephen and I are real fans of film music, and we've been collecting actually for years. And we both go to sleep listening to film music separately in different locations.
Okay.
But we compare notes in terms of the scores and what was good and what wasn't good and what actually won this year and what was nominated.
Right.
And so I think this is going to, we have some nice stuff to share with folks tonight. And considering that the one of the major awards went for a best song out of a film called Frozen, which was written by a Rhode Islander, Jennifer Lee, from East Providence.
Right.
So I
getting a lot of local publicity.
It's just fantastic. She's the first female director to direct a Disney movie and win an Academy Award for it. How cool is that?
That's great. And a Rhode Islander, so that's very cool. We'll end up the show with some of that music, but right now we're going to review some of the other songs, music rather, that was from films that were big this year. And Stephen and George have picked some things out.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about Saving Mr. Banks.
Well, this is by Thomas Newman, who was nominated last year for Skyfall. And he's done a lot of other films, Road to Perdition, mm-hmm. American Beauty. But I really like this score, and I thought the movie was a wonderful gem of a movie. And with Tom Hanks and
Emma Thompson,
who should have gotten nominated. Her performance was great.
We feel she was robbed.
Yeah. We all agreed before that. Yes. I have seen this movie, and we all agreed that she was robbed. So
she should have been included in that category. But the score is really wonderful.
Stephen, do you think we could come up with a Rhode Island award between you and George that we could send to her, get her here, and present her the award?
I'm sure we can develop something.
We do. We actually can give her a Rhode Island Film Dreammaker Award, which we gave to Viola Davis. But maybe we should give her something else.
Yeah, we'll come up with something, and
we'll
I want a part of this.
Why don't
we
call it the Jane Austen Award, because I know she's a big Jane Austen fan.
We'll come up with something.
Not bad.
All right,
not
that's
bad.
Good.
Well, we could call it the Mike Maino Award.
Well, sounds memorial. That
nice.
Sounds a little bit memorial,
no,
so, you know. All right, well, let's get to the music
Spend
here.
Spend the weekend with Mike.
And let's get to this Saving Mr. Banks, and the name of this that we've decided to do is track two off of this double set CD, which is called Travers Goff, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And do we need to say any more?
I think it captures the theme and the feel of the movie.
Yes, it also is part of the flashback of the movie where we discover really what was behind P.L. Travers, her backstory, which is what I think the film captures so brilliantly, because most people really did not know what was the inspiration of Mary Poppins. And the film actually sets up this whole backstory that Mary Poppins was not there to save the children.
And if I can just say, I had never actually seen Mary Poppins, and then The day before I went to see Mr. Banks, I watched Mary Poppins so I could really enjoy. And I thought this movie was terrific.
Yeah. And the Mary Poppins, the story is the children are saved. And actually, when you after watching this film, I went back and watched Mary Poppins. It is there. You can actually see what she does with the father. And I think that's amazing. And Colin Farrell played the lead character here that's in the track. And I thought it was a brilliant performance.
Yeah. Here we go. Stephen, we're going to try to cover a lot of movies today, and this next one is Gravity. And I guess all the movies that we're going to play were out in 2013. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. So this next one after Saving Mr. Banks is that we're going to work on is Gravity. Tell us about this.
So this score obviously is a lot different than Saving Mr. Banks. It's a little more, slightly more experimental than the traditional Saving Mr. Banks. This was by a gentleman named Stephen Price, and he was a first-time nominee and became a first-time Academy Award winner because this won Best Score. And I think it has a fresh angle. I think the music track that we're going to be playing, or we played, is the sequence called Debris. And this is when they're on the space station doing their work and debris hits. And it's ominous, and it's exciting and riveting. And if you've seen it in IMAX 3D, you're in for an experience.
And we should note that it ends very abruptly.
Abrupt ending. All right, here we go. I guess abrupt is the correct term for the ending of that last piece.
Absolutely. Mm.
And that I haven't seen the movie. I'd like to, so don't give me any spoiler now. And but it sounds like that things just kind of ended rather quickly.
It's space. No one can hear you scream.
There you go. It's from 2001. Is that from
no Alien?
Alien. Aliens. Oh, wow. I had my
Weaver.
Chance.
It's
and
our
I blew
Sigourney
it.
Weaver movie.
Right. Okay.
Missed that.
All right, we're going on now to, I heard this piece of music. I have not seen the movie, but I heard the piece of music. And this has a little, to me, almost this movie we're about to talk about, mm-hmm. a little Disney flavor to it almost.
Pretty much, and it's based on a true story. The film is called Philomena with the magnificent Judi Dench. And the story deals with this woman who was pregnant in a Catholic country, Ireland. Mm-hmm. And she gives up her child. And in later life, she regrets the fact that she gave up that child and goes looking for him. And the music is really classical symphonic score by Alexandre Desplat.
Yep.
And Stephen, would you set up the scene?
Well, wait a minute. Well, just want to make sure that the child was not James Bond, right?
No. Okay. The child was...
yeah, oh, wouldn't that be great?
No, but Judy died in Skyfall. Spoiler alert. Right. This is a different character.
Okay.
But... the composer also has done some of Wes Anderson's films. Mm-hmm. He did Moonrise Kingdom, and he's doing the new one coming out soon, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
With Ralph Fiennes.
Yep. And this, I believe, is an introduction or early in the movie.
Okay.
I don't know which track we've selected, but...
We're going to go with the first one.
Yes, so I think it sets up the tone of the movie and... the theme of the movie, and it's you really enjoy the journey, even though it's got some heavy overtones to it or undertones.
Yeah.
There's also a playfulness because there's a great relationship between Judi Dench and the author, who is the reporter who's doing the story of her quest to find her child, who hasn't seen since for 40 something years.
All right, we will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of the Stephen George Show.
Thank you.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Steven Feinberg from the Round Film and TV Office and George Marshall, Executive Director of the Round Film Festival. And I think just a word before we get back to the music and some of the music from the scores of the movies. George, just a word about the Round Film Festival. Tell us just a little bit of what you do for our audience that might not be familiar.
Sure. We do year-round programming, and one of our accolades is that we're connected with the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Because of that affiliation, we're able to nominate films for Academy Awards. We do it in the short film category, which is animation and narrative films, and now we have documentary shorts. Since we've been doing this, we have had 33 nominations and 7 wins, and most recently, The Lady in Number 6, which is a documentary short. What's exciting for us is that we're the only festival in New England with this, and that gives us thousands of films to play with as they come in and discover. It's like opening Christmas presents on a continuous basis. So we do a main festival in August. We do a horror festival in October, and now we're expanding. And thanks to Stephen, we're doing a lot more programming, not just here in Rhode Island, but throughout New England, from immersion programs with French language and French language films. We're now actually going to be building a Portuguese sidebar. We do work in the colleges, and Stephen's been a major player with us working at Roger Williams and the University of Rhode Island, where we give students an opportunity to actually watch these films and discover not just the style of writing and production, but also how they can take that and internalize it and create their own new work.
And if people want information, they can go to a website, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Our website is www.rifilmfest.org, and that is actually changing on a daily basis. You'll find new information up. This month, for example, we have 18 programs over 30 days spread throughout New England.
Excellent.
And Mike, if I can say too, looking at the list of film festivals that are actually Academy sanctioned, it is a very select group. And to have the Rhode Island International Film Festival among that group, it's really inspiring, and they should be congratulated for being recognized. I mean, you're talking about whether it's Tribeca in New York or the Los Angeles Film Festival, and then amongst that is the Rhode Island International Film Festival. So they should be very proud, and George should be very proud of what they've accomplished.
That's a great thing. It is indeed a great thing. And Stephen, as far as the Rhode Island Film and TV Office, how do you go about business daily?
Well, we have, every day is different. We try to bring large productions to Rhode Island, whether it was Infinitely Polar Bear that starred Mark Ruffalo and Zoe Saldana, which premiered at the Sundance Film Festival to a standing ovation and just got picked up by Sony Classics. That'll come out this year. Obviously, we did Moonrise Kingdom with Wes Anderson, which was nominated for an Academy Award. But we also are very, very supportive, and it's one of our, just as bringing large productions to Rhode Island, just as important is to get our local filmmakers and hopefully bring them to national, international prominence. There's a new movie that's going to be filming in a couple of months called Bleed for This. It's the Vinnie Paz film that Martin Scorsese is producing along with local producer Chad Verde, who's made a string of films here in Rhode Island. And so it's going to be a beautiful combination of Rhode Island crew and some of the Hollywood crew working together and creating what is a Rhode Island story. So, and then there are other films going on that are locally produced as well. While that's happening, we're very instrumental in helping productions and also helping the film festival here, helping mentor students, working with young filmmakers, student filmmakers, providing permits. Like I said, every day is different. We're trying to bring TV shows here and supporting. It's just anything that's film and TV related, from young students to veterans, we're there to help.
Excellent.
Can I just add one other piece? In terms of the young students, Stephen's work actually goes from youngest kids, I mean, from 8 years old on, mm-hmm. He's responsible for, not just for the growth of the Rhode Island Film Collaborative, which is older folks, but also for the Give Me Five program, which is out of the Rhode Island State Council for the Arts. And that's actually kicking up again. And that's a wonderful program where kids in the schools learn how to produce films. And we have a festival with them.
Right. We do the Give Me Five Lab, which is for high school students to learn, and that's over a weekend, and we're actually partnering with the University of Rhode Island Harrington School mm-hmm. this year. I think this is our sixth year. And then yeah. we have the Give Me Five Film Festival, which all of the students from Westerly to Woonsocket get to gather together, look at each other's work, comment on the work, and they all go home with T-shirts and prizes and an experience. And most importantly, we hope it builds a community of young filmmakers who can appreciate points of view from one another.
And on our end, what we do, we provide passes to our festival for the winners. So the whole thing has a nice synergy. Everything, mm-hmm. everybody mm-hmm. works together. And that creates a really wonderful dynamic. And I'm kudos for Stephen, because Stephen's the visionary behind making sure that folks
team
work
effort.
Together.
It's a team effort. And I want to also say a little shout out to Sherilyn Brown, who is Sherry's education for the Rhode Island Council on the Arts.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, we could probably talk for a long, long time about
we
what
we won't hear our music.
Do, but we're going to get to a piece of music now that is from the film Nebraska, which I mm-hmm. have not seen. So tell us about this.
The star of the film is Bruce Dern, who was nominated for an Academy Award. It's the piece of music, and I'll let Stephen speak more on this. What's nice about this, it reflects how any film can have its own identity. It doesn't have to be a symphonic score. It doesn't have to be an avant-garde score. It had, as we heard with Gravity, which mm-hmm. was not your typical right. Soundtrack that you would get in a major motion picture. This film score has something that relates to the territory, the community. It gives you a sense of place and time. And I'll let Stephen take it from here.
Well, I think Alexander Payne, who does a lot of his films, he is from Nebraska. So a lot of his films have that feel about Schmidt, I believe, was one of those films. And this is by the composer Mark Orton, O-R-T-O-N. And it has a folksy feel, a feeling of, like, you know these folks, and they are salt of the earth people, simple people, and this is about a gentleman who is on a quest, and it's his probably the third act of his life, mm-hmm. and it's got that feel of traveling the country roads.
Swinging and swaying to that last piece of music. That was very nice, Stephen.
I love that. I really love that.
A little home feeling, down home feeling to it. kind of. It reminds me of, I think I could be sitting on a rocking chair on a porch.
You know, it's a little bit of Grapes of Wrath. It's a black and white film, and it's Grapes of Wrath meets, I don't know, a little folk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No Deliverance part of it, though.
No.
All right.
And very funky characters.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think I'll have to take that in. We're going to go to another movie that received a lot of notoriety, and that is Captain Phillips.
Starring Tom Hanks. And it's an amazing film because, again, true life.
The guy works once in a while, doesn't he? Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, yeah.
He's going to be somebody.
Yeah, I just have a feeling we'll be hearing his name somewhere along the line.
So we started off the program, of course, with Saving Mr. Banks, which was
Tom Hanks playing Walt Disney.
Right.
Right. And then in the same year, this comes out, right?
Actually came out just before, and the film had really rave critical notices, though there were some issues about the real-life character, the real-life person
he
that
didn't
this
like
is based
it, right?
on.
As I recall.
There was some other controversy about
him as
well.
I think it was the idea that there are certain things that in the film that the main character, Tom Hanks, did where apparently in reality it was some of the crew members. But I do want to give you a little info that... part of the film was almost filmed in Rhode Island. We scouted with Charlie Harrington, who was one of the location managers, and almost filmed at Green Airport. There's that whole airport sequence where he and his wife say goodbye to one another. That was almost Green Airport.
Almost.
Yes, it was.
But, you know, we would never know that if Stephen hadn't shared that.
We wouldn't know how close we came.
Very close.
We wanted that.
I'm sure we've had a lot of other...
Oh, absolutely. We don't announce anything until it happens. But that was just... It almost Charlie Harrington had worked on John Adams, the TV series for Tom Hanks, and he became a good friend because we enjoyed our company. And he said, "Hey, let me take a look at Green Airport because maybe we can do that there."
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that are always going on from your office, I'm sure. I know in my own neighborhood on the east side, I can't tell you how many times I come home and I've got to turn down a different street because there's a camera crew filming something.
Ah.
And it's amazing.
And you're still having Stephen on this show?
I'm sure he didn't block the street.
Right.
But,
are you sure?
I'm not too sure. But Captain Phillips is Tom Hanks, and tell us about this song.
Well, this is Henry Jackman is the composer. He's done some of the other action films. The Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter was one of his films. But the Paul Greengrass, who is the director of this film, used Henry on this production. And some of it sometimes has that feel of John Powell, who has composed a lot of the Born Identity movies, and Paul Greengrass directed two of them. So there's that action feel, but there's also a feel of Somalia. And I think the track that we're going to hear now has got that Somalia action
feel. With a bit of tension.
A bit of tension. All right, we'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more. Thank you. We are back on Conducting Conversations, having a great time, particularly off air. So what you don't know, I guess, won't hurt you. But we have a good time here, and George and Stephen both get along great. And I love hearing the stories, the behind-the-scenes things about actors and films and things that we can't talk about on the air.
That's a separate tape.
But we get the real inside scoop, and we'll tell you some of the stories, I think. But right now we're going to move to a movie that we move to a movie. There we
Let's
go.
Move See, to a movie
yeah, that we talked about at the top of the show. Rhode Island's own Academy Award winner,
Jennifer Lee.
Jennifer Lee,
who is the co-director and writer of Frozen. And from that came a song which ended up winning Best Original Song, written by Kristen Anderson Lopez and her husband Robert Lopez. It's called Let It Go. And what's amazing about this song is that it has hit the box office charts. It is so popular. The film itself has just reached the 1 billion mark as far as international sales, which is amazing.
And that's without Stephen and I seeing it yet.
Right, but the singer... Also, the singer was in the play Wicked, and she had done that song Defying Gravity.
Right. Stephen, can you give us the John Travolta read on her name?
I think it's Adele Manassouz. I don't know. I don't know the name he pronounced, but it wasn't her real name.
And her real name is?
Go ahead.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to butcher it.
It's Idina Menzel, I believe.
Yes, that's right. And who also, you get to see her and not singing in Enchanted that Amy Adams was in a couple years ago.
Right.
It was a non-singing role. She is an amazing performer. And I know that it was a lot of prep work for her to do it live at the Oscars. So Let It Go.
All right. Well, listen to this and just a comment. It seems like from what you talked about and a little bit that I've heard getting ready for this, this is built ready for a Broadway show, right?
They're actually prepping for it right now.
Oh, they already are?
Yeah.
So I was trying to give them the
folks
idea.
Don't know, we actually listened to a couple other bands from this thing, particularly the Trolls song.
Right.
And it is Broadway bound.
All right, here we go.
Snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. See, be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No light, no road, no rules for me.
Still.
me anyway.
Well, here we are at the end of another show, and I want to thank both George and Stephen for coming in. Had a great time. And since the Academy Awards were last week, I think we should just take a moment to recap some of the things that either you thought were good or bad, or the things that we didn't mention.
Well, I really enjoyed the Academy Awards. I thought that the tone was really great. I love when Pink sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and then Bette Midler came on.
Who was wonderful.
Jared Leto's speech was great. But I do want to say, Mike, I know George would want to mention this as well, is a couple of the nominees that we didn't get to share with the audience tonight. The Book Thief with John Williams, composer. Mm-hmm. And then also Her, which I have not seen yet. And the composers were William Butler and Owen Pallett.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. And I should also mention, we're really proud of the fact that we had two nominations in the Academy Awards this year from our festival. And actually the third, with which was Feral by Dan Souza from Rhode Island, for animated short. But we actually were able to take some boasting rights by saying that the documentary short, The Lady Number 6, won Academy Award, and that we showed here in Rhode Island a long time ago.
Excellent. All right. Well, great things happening for Rhode Island, and I'm sure the Rhode Island Film Festival and the Rhode Island Film and TV office have a lot to do with that, so thank you both for that, and keep the trucks off my street, but you can use my house whenever you want.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us to share the music with the audience.
All right.
Thank
you. We have one more piece to go, and this is also from Frozen.
Yes, and the music is by Christoph Beck, and actually Stephen is the one that picked this because... I don't know. Stephen's into action. I don't know why Stephen's into action.
I just thought it might, like, you know, when you're going to sleep now, you can go to sleep and relax.
This is not going to put you to sleep, Stephen.
Think of yourself being smothered by snow.
This is, yeah, exactly. Totally submerged. It is titled Whiteout. And for those that know the film, it's the climactic section of the movie.
Thank you very much to the both of you. And we'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.